This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Last month, the federal government released the first draft of regulations underneath the Canada Accessible Act. Our accessibility reporter, Megan Gilmore, is here to talk about what these regulations are and to share some early feedback on them. Hey, good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to chat with you once again. So I think we need a bit of a background here. What are these regulations and frameworks about?
So in general, like big picture, if I was going to pull it out, these regulations are about creating accessibility plans for organizations that are covered by the Accessible Canada Act. And these reports would essentially just report on how accessible those entities are. So that's the big heading. And then if you want to boil it down to get more technical, there's three regulations all about accessibility reports. So there's one that is for entities covered by the ACA. And then there's a second one that's specifically for the CRTC. And then a third one that is for the Canadian Transportation CTA. So, yeah.
Now, Megan, you used an expression there, an accessibility plan. That's a term I'm not familiar with. So what goes into an accessibility plan? What does it need to include?
So these plans and reports need to include, this is the different headings. So the first would be the general information, which is essentially, this is what our organization is and this is how you contact us. So just general information about the organization. And then information related to the accessibility of the items that are specifically mentioned in the Accessible Canada Act that it is meant to really focus on. So that'd be things like employment, built environment, information community technology, communication technology that is not ICT technology, procurement, how you procure things, your design and delivery of services, and transportation. And then the next heading would be consultations. And this is where the organization would say how they had consulted with members of the disability community. And there's a three-year cycle. So the way this would work is an organization would need to publish its accessibility plan every 3 years and then do a progress report each year after. So it'd be like big report, progress report one, progress report two, new big report.
Megan, as I mentioned, this is a bit of a first draft. Do we have a sense of a timeline of when the regulations might be finalized?
That is unclear. I believe the federal government would want to do this as soon as possible because they have in the regulations indicated when this would come into effect for different entities. But there is no set deadline yet.
What about the accessibility plans themselves? Any deadline or conception of what a time frame on those might be?
Sure. So those, of course, could only be published after the regulations are accepted.
Okay. There's a cascading component to this.
Right. So, but like the plan right now is that depending on the entity, like depending on who is required to give these accessibility plans and reports, you'll have a different deadline. So if you are a federal entity, like one of the federal entities or Crown corporations covered by the ACA, you would have until December 31st, 2022. So it would mean that probably right now they're hoping to get these regulations finalized and maybe like 6 months to end of this year to give people a year to do it. And then if you're a large private entity, so a private company that is considered having a large number of employees, you would have until June 1st, 2023 to post your first report. And then if you're a small company, small private company, you'd have June 1st, 2024 to post it. And then there's a different timeline for First Nations bans. There's about 5 years before the regulations would have to go into force for them.
Megan, typically when we're talking about any kind of government bureaucratic process, there tends to be forms involved. What about alternative formats for organizations that might require alternative formats?
Right. So the alternative formats are for the consumers, for people who would like to read your entity's accessibility plan, but it needs to be an accessible format for them, right? Because what's the point of having a plan to tell how accessible you are if people with disabilities can't even you know, read your plan? Doesn't make any sense. So this is available upon request. So this just means if you need a Braille report about what said federal entities accessibility plan is, you're gonna have to request that. Okay, don't expect that to just be waiting for you. You're gonna have to call in for that. So again, depending on how large the organization is, they have different times. So in terms of private sector entities with like 10 to 99 employees, they have 20 days for formats that would be print, large print, electronic format, compatible with the system technology. And bigger organizations would have 15 days to provide those same things. If you would like a Braille or an audio format, it doesn't matter the size of the entity. It doesn't matter if it's private or federal. They have 45 days to prepare that for you. And that's to take into consideration the extra time.
Right. Right. Yeah. What about the compliance side of this? Is there any framework in place for fines?
Yes. So there are fines. This is really fascinating. There's a formula for calculating the fines, and it depends on several things. One of the things it depends on is if the infraction, so if the way that you violated the regulation, is considered minor or serious under the regulations. So that's the first thing you have to determine. Was this a minor infraction or a serious one? And then it goes into, like, how big is your company? Are you private? Are you federal? And how many times have you been breaking this rule? So obviously the fines go up the more times you've done it. So for example, for a small business, your first infraction, I believe for a minor one, that would the fine would range from $500 to $5,000. But for your fourth violation of a very serious nature, so this is the most money you can get, it gets up to $125,000 for a small business. And then if you're a large business, assume that your fines will be doubled.
Wow, those are some significant numbers that we're talking about there. Megan, this is sort of the first draft of initial regulations. And at one time, we're kind of covering this in broad strokes and also trying to dive in on some details. But I think it's worth giving the listeners and audience some context here. What is the significance about this first framework, this first draft?
Right. So, you know, people have been waiting to see what regulations will be made under the Accessible Canada Act, because the way the act is set up, that's where a lot of the teeth comes in, right? So I can see if you've been waiting for a regulation, then you find out the first one has come and it's all about making a plan. And there's this very elaborate, formula to come up with how much people have to pay if they made an infraction. It might seem like really detail oriented and wonky. You're just like, why Megan and Dave? Why? I really don't care. The reason why this is important is because as many people I spoke to will talk about this, this sets the foundation for everything else. So this is how accessibility is going to be monitored and implemented and enforced. And if you don't have this in place, then really none of your any other regulation after this will have less teeth, because how are you going to enforce it? So this is what is laying the framework for everything that will come after. And then as we're about to talk about, if there's flaws in the process for creating this regulation, there's a concern that those flaws will be replicated in future regulations. So this is why people really want to make sure that this one gets done right and properly.
It's an example of building a solid framework, a solid foundation to then build from there, right? There can't be cracks in the foundation that you first construct. So what is some of the initial feedback that people are hearing here? What improvements would some people like to see?
So I spoke to a couple of people. One of the individuals I spoke to was Bill Adair from Spinal Cord Injury Canada. Bill's also a member of Accessibility Standards Canada, although Accessibility Standards Canada was not involved in the creation of a standard for that would lead to this regulation. He said that, you know, while he's very happy that the government is wanting to move quickly on getting this regulation in place, and consultations have been going on for this regulation since 2019. Full disclosure, AMI was involved with some of the regulations, consultations on the regulations. Bill Adair says that he would want to see more clear definitions about what it really means to consult with people with disabilities, because he would say, like, you need to consult with people from a broad range of disabilities, and if you don't put clearly what that means, then you run the risk of somebody's going to say, oh, I spoke to someone who's blind, someone who's deaf, someone who uses a wheelchair. Clearly, I've talked to everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't. So what does that mean? And are there best practices for how do you consult with people with disabilities? How do you get them on board? And then the second part of that is, once you've welcomed these people to the table, as it were, you need to provide a proper accommodations for them. And one of those things that he would say is compensation, so that you compensate these people well and treat them as the experts that they are. Mm-hmm. Then I was speaking to the Council of Canadians with Disabilities, Jewel Smith there, just echoed a lot of the same things, and the reality that this has to be nothing about us without us. So there have been consultations for more than a year now with different stakeholder groups representing different disabilities. So Arch Disability Legal Center, they've been really involved in this. I mentioned AMI. There's been some other organizations also involved. And there's concerns about how much of what was said in those consultations has actually made it into these draft regulations. And there's a note from the government and the explaining of this saying that there were some stakeholder groups that would have wanted more set templates and forms of how these plans were supposed to be. And then some business groups were like, no, that's too cumbersome. So in the regulations, they tried to make this middle ground of, here's the headings, and this is the information that you need to include. Jules Smith also mentioned the importance of giving organizations proper funding, because disability organizations are dealing with a lot right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic. So think about things like triage protocols, vaccine rollout. Then you think about a lot of organizations have been working with Bill C-7, so that law. And then you're talking about, like, mental health crises. So organizations are really swamped right now with a lot of things. And then they're also being asked to comment on regulations. And she would ask, well, how are we going to do that if you don't give us funding? You know, we're still going to comment on these regulations to the best that we can, because it's really important to us, but we need the funding and the resources to be able to do all the things we're being asked to do
now. And you can't just have lay people going through a government regulation, reading through it, and being like, what does this mean? You need to bring in proper expertise to do that as well, right? It goes beyond the expertise of understanding that disability landscape that they're covering or serving. It's about, okay, what is this really heavy, dense language, and what does it actually mean?
Right, and regulations are, in many ways, more complicated than a law itself, right? This is how it actually gets applied. So it's just because somebody is an expert on public policy doesn't mean that they're an expert on regulations. Mm-hmm. So you have to find, Jewel talked about this a lot, you have to find the right person to come to the table and not just have it be like a token person. So, you know, full disclosure, guys, if the federal government called me up and said, hey, Megan, like, you have a visual impairment, do you want to comment on our regulations? No, like, I'm not an expert on regulations. I'm just trying to learn, and I would not be the right person. So that would not be proper consultation. Thankfully, they have not called.
There you go. So for folks who might want to take a look or want to make comments, is there a deadline in place for commentary on this draft regulation?
Yes, there is a deadline, which is 65 days from the publication of the draft regulations in the Canada Gazette, which is about February 13th, February 15th, around there. So you got 2.5 months from the middle of February. So I believe that puts you in May. And then keep your eyes out for announcements of events. So Arch Disability Law Center in Toronto, they're holding public meetings next week, three of them. to get community feedback on this. I have reached out to the federal government, to Minister Carla Quattro's office, asking for like a detailed list of how do you, as the federal government, plan to consult with people with disabilities. We don't have that information yet from them. They say that they're going to do it, but we're just looking for more information about how. So yeah, keep your eyes and ears open if you're involved with any large disability organization on a national level. Start asking them, what are your plans for soliciting feedback in the next month and a bit?
Excellent. Hey, Megan, thank you for taking the time to sort of go through these with a fine-tooth comb and boil them down for us. So we appreciate that a lot. So have yourself a nice day, and we'll talk to you on Friday for the news panel.
All right, enjoy the rest of the show.
That is Megan Gilmore, our accessibility reporter, discussing the first draft regulations under the Accessible Canada Act. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.